It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again, and once again on Zoom, although you've gotten some new gadgets and you're getting situated there in Arizona now, but still counseling people here from the Northwest, primarily mostly on Zoom now.
I'm as busy as I ever was. It's actually working out very well.
Well, so many people do get their counseling these days on online and with Zoom or FaceTime or some other method, but you take them all and you still do lots of marital counseling. You're kind of getting into a marital counseling topic this week. Why don't you tell us about what we're talking about?
Yeah, let's talk about building intimacy today. And the whole counseling idea of different themes that I talk about. I sort of like get onto a theme and seems like that's what I work with for a week or a couple of weeks with people. And one of the great things about counseling is people bring their troubles to counseling, but they also bring some tools that maybe they just need to learn how to use those tools better. And so it's a kind of a learning experience for me too. So it's, we're always learning about life. Just never stop getting new information and good information. So I want to talk about building intimacy. I think when we're talking about intimacy, there's kind of a default thinking that sexual intimacy is sort of like the watermark or the quintessence of intimacy. But I also see that a lot of my people that I talk to have been married for 20, 30, 40 or more years. And as we age and that interest in sexual intimacy begins to drop off, and a lot of times there can be a perceived lack of intimacy, or it could be that sexual intimacy has kind of bore the weight of the relationship, and so we have not really gotten to know one another or developed intimacy. And so where to start building intimacy? And so some folks might think that, well, we need to have more touch, we need to have more physical intimacy, but it's difficult to build that kind of intimacy in levels. And intimacy is built in levels. It has to do with the building of trust. And so trust isn't an on-off switch. It's you build line upon line, a little bit here and a little bit there. And so intimacy has to be built that way. And it's hard to be somewhat aroused and somewhat affected by, a sexual. You're either in or you're out. You know, you're either engaged or not. And intimacy, building intimacy doesn't work that way. And so I was having a session with a married couple, and actually I'm going to credit the married couple. Although they get partial, they're not going to get full credit because they can't mention their name. So they'll just have to be, so you know who you are. But in the discussion, I had given them an assignment, and we talked about what is your objective? What is your goal? And then some steps to change. What is your goal? And then the second step is, do we have to change our course in order to reach our goal? And then the third one is, what are we going to change? And then the fourth one is, how do we measure our change? And then the fifth step is, how do we remember the first four steps? And that usually comes to a kind of a mission statement, like a bookmarker or something like that to remind people. And so it was interesting. They each carried out the assignment their own particular way. And it was interesting how they did it. But the wife was talking about, in her filling out the assignment, she thought of, okay, we want more intimacy in our marriage, and what will we change, and how will we measure it? So she came up with these, and I guess she had heard this at some other, read a book or something, and these things were suggested. They could build intimacy in, and I'm going to suggest these now, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, as well as physically. And I would like to say that the building of physical intimacy, particularly, sexual intimacy, has got to be has got to follow these other areas of intimacy because, as I said a little earlier on, it's difficult, if not impossible, to be somewhat sexual and pull it off. You know, you are either engaged or you're not engaged. You're either mentally into it and or not. And but these other areas, you can build intimacy gradually, and which is the way intimacy is actually built, because it's a matter of vulnerability and it's a matter of trust.
And this is necessary for both men and women. We think maybe this is more women have to be firing on all these cylinders. Men don't necessarily need to, but you would say probably it's true for both.
And I would say, to the point, I would say possibly even men need to go through these other pathways, if not more than women, because I think for men to be sexual, they are not as emotionally engaged at all as women. They're, I don't think they're as vulnerable, and I don't think they have to be, I don't think they have to have as much trust. But they certainly do in order for this, you know, the saying, people are least loving when making love. In order to change that, I think men have to engage in these other areas. They have to lay the foundation for that that kind of intimacy by building trust and trust and intimacy in these other areas. So they're more manageable in that regard. You can build gradually. You can build intimacy intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. And so they have more to do with being honest and being self-disciplined than just relying on sexual intimacy to kind of bear the weight of it. And again, as I say, as times change in your marriage and the ebb and flow of that kind of interest, but the door is never shut to build intimacy and trust in these other areas, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual. So I want to talk a bit about, you know, the building intimacy, as I've suggested, means increasing vulnerability. Like the two are almost synonymous. And I've often said to couples that marriage is a death experience. And that is,
well, that's not very romantic.
No, it doesn't sound romantic.
It's a death experience.
And I get that kind of a shock response sometimes. But the man is admonished by Paul to lay down his life for his wife. And so I had a man ask me once, well, if I lay down my life for my wife, what keeps her from walking all over me? And it's, of course, the answer is nothing. But if people understood that the man is called to lay down his life, to put his life aside, his aspirations, his visions, and whatever. And as Paul said, you have to care when you're married, you have to care for the needs of your spouse. And if the wife really does take seriously that admonition to obey the husband as the Lord, then marriage becomes a very serious thing. And it's not something that to be frivolous about or to just enter into on a kind of an emotional high. So it's something to be contemplated. And I think if people did that, we would have the divorce rate would drop significantly. So building intimacy means increasing vulnerability. Now, vulnerability can have different many faces. I talk about vulnerability sometimes in just conversation, and my wife might come home from a shopping trip or some sort of responsibilities, and maybe the traffic's been horrific, or she's learned something, or some other situation has happened. And she wants to share her experience with me. And people might say, well, in sharing, she's being somewhat vulnerable because she could be sharing something that, and my response to it could be something very calloused, like, you know, I'm not interested in that, you know. So she's somewhat vulnerable, but I'm also vulnerable in listening because I'm allowing her to affect my emotions. And so vulnerability it's not standing in harm's way. It's anytime you offer yourself, and we talk about forgiveness or forgiving, by which we mean giving, The FOR is a precursor, but the important part of forgiving is giving. And anytime you're giving, you're making yourself vulnerable. And at the same time, when you receive a person's gift of themselves, you're making yourself vulnerable, because both of those imply change. Mm. And that always has to do with some level of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I also talk about is, and we've talked about on the show a number of times, is that personalities are defense mechanisms at their core. They're about safety and security. And so we have to lower our defense mechanisms in order to increase intimacy. And so the way we do that, as I teach people in our marriage counseling, is the way that we increase the intimacy in our relationship basically is through empathy, shared reality, and shared boundaries, those three things. And so as I walk through those, I'll explain how that all of those imply vulnerability. So empathy, I'll start with empathy and try to continue on the rest of them. But empathy has to do with a physiological response to someone else's experience.
Mm.
And are we going to take a break here quick,
yeah,
Mark?
Maybe before you get into this too deep, take a break. We're talking with Daniel Pryor, Building Intimacy in Marriage, the subject this week. And Daniel is actually now located in Arizona, but still doing lots of counseling, individual and marriage counseling, via Zoom. In fact, we're recording this program today on Zoom, and it's working pretty good. Yep. And
still licensed in Washington, and I'll always be licensed there. So if people are in Washington, business as usual.
So phone numbers and websites still work. What are those, Daniel?
Yes. 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. BibleBasedCounselor.com for a lot of these podcasts that go back a number of years. Yeah.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal, or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind broadcast this week, Daniel, looking at the subject of building intimacy in marriage. And you were just going to delve into some of your methods you use. Now, you're not a sex therapist, so that's not what you're talking about necessarily here.
No, that it comes up a lot, but the Bible is really helpful in that too. And a lot of times in counseling, I think in almost all, I would say virtually all of my clients come via KCIS. And so they're all believers. And but still the sexual behavior comes up sometimes. And but people tend to think that there are mental health issues that the Bible doesn't address. And as a Bible-based counselor, I'm here to say that just simply isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible addresses all of these issues.
Yeah.
So much
of the sexual relationship is starts, though, in the mind, starts in good relating overall. And that's kind of what you're more talking about today.
Yeah. And so we were talking about empathy just as we went to the break. And empathy being a physiological response to someone else's experience. And so that if you think that through, change of heart rate, change of breathing, that's quite a response to someone else's experience. Like if your wife is sharing about a shopping event or a business event that didn't go well, and your heart rate changes in your breathing, that's a little bit extreme, isn't it? And it is the extreme. But we do get moved that way when we hear of some horrific thing that's occurred, some tragedy, or sometimes some joyful event to a loved one, like, a son or a daughter comes to know the Lord, or and we do have a physiological response to their experience, and that's a form of vulnerability. I am allowing myself to be touched that deeply. Now, that's a rheostat. It's not a light switch. I can regulate how vulnerable I want to be, how much I want my wife's account or her experience, how much I want it to affect me. So I get to choose or regulate how vulnerable I am. But that also regulates the amount of intimacy we can build. So the next one would be shared empathy, shared reality there's a lot of crossover between shared empathy and shared reality. Shared reality is, I say, everybody's behavior makes perfect sense to them. And if I want to understand and build trust and intimacy, I have got to put myself in their shoes until their behavior makes perfect sense, which is not to say that it's correct or good, but I have to understand it. And that, in doing that, I'm making myself vulnerable. And understanding another person, I'm making myself vulnerable. The third one, shared boundaries, and I think of boundaries as pathways, not walls, but pathways. They are the rules or the pathways that make the relationship work. So in shared boundaries, what we're doing is not my way or her way, but the way that makes the relationship work. And so in a case of oftentimes in agreeing to a boundary or a pathway, we're both becoming vulnerable because we're both kind of, you know, letting down or relaxing our personal desires and our personal needs in the interest of the relationship. What's going to build the relationship? And of course, we agree too that this relationship has a purpose, and the purpose of the marriage relationship is to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit for the body of Christ. And so God uses his work in the individuals and in the marriage to produce the fruit of the Spirit for the body of Christ. That's how it's built up. So I want to go into these, if we have enough time here, and I want to talk about making, how then, practically speaking, what does it look like when we're building intimacy? Let's say intellectual intimacy. How does that happen? So I talked to couples where, you know, he has an interest that doesn't interest her. She has interests that don't interest him. And yet we want to build intellectual intimacy. And by intellectual, we're not talking about highfalutin, intellectual, lofty topics or philosophy or things, but just things of that one is interested in. And
like, for instance, the guy would be really interested in sports and things like that.
Yeah.
And she is not. She's more interested in her garden.
Yeah. Something like that. Vocations can come into it. So we've had situations where, you know, I would be sharing about some thoughts I had about why people get depressed or anxious. And those are things that my wife is not particularly interested in. But she has some consulting work that she does. And sometimes she likes to share that. And you know, I could say, well, I'm not particularly interested in that. You know, I don't know those people. But what we've learned over the years is to make a stretch, and for her to, you know, realize, you know, I'm not as interested in those things as Dan. Maybe it's car stuff, or maybe it's airplane stuff, or maybe it's you know, counseling topics or things like that. And that she's not as interested, and yet she's going to pressure herself, force herself to ask questions, to be intentionally inquisitive, and to try to find an area that she can engage on, and so that we can have this intellectual engagement. And she will share about some business consulting thing, or something one of her siblings, or something like that. And on the surface, I'm thinking, I'm not interested. And yet, to build intellectual intimacy in our relationship, I have to make a stretch there. So I'm going to engage. I'm going to ask questions, find ways to ask questions, and look for things that would interest me so that we can share some that to some level. We'll never share the same level of interest, but that's the way that's done. And I've had situations, talk to couples where the wife or the husband would bring something up, and the wife would kind of, you know, shrug, or the husband would kind of shrug, instead of taking an opportunity and saying, again, everybody's behavior makes perfect sense to them. Mm. Why is my wife interested in that? Why is she intrigued by that person? In order to understand her, I need to get some sense of why that is interesting to her. Let's look at emotional intimacy. And this is where men might struggle a little bit. I think the intellectual intimacy, men might, that might be their strong suit. Emotional intimacy, men might struggle there. And again, I can remember a time when my wife was going through some very difficult times earlier in our marriage. She had a number of surgeries that drug out over years. And I was blissfully ignorant and happy to stay that way about the terminology and all the things about what she was going through. But those surgeries were wearing on her, and there came a point where we were sitting on the couch watching television, and goes without saying that I was more engaged than she was because she had surgery the next morning, and she was like almost at her wit's end. She couldn't call the surgery off, but if she could have, she would have. And she looked at me and said, "You don't know what to do when I'm like this," Well, what do you mean? I'm clueless. And she said, "I need you to put your arm around me." And I really struggled at that. And she had to help me put my arm around her. And so that was one of those things that I realized, this is important to her. It isn't important to me. I'm not a touchy person. But I have to begin to try to learn to be, because it's important to her. So I'm going to kind of wade in here and put my arm around her and try to feel, allow myself to. Now, you see what I'm doing? I'm becoming vulnerable. She was vulnerable in addressing that to me. Mm-hmm. She was being vulnerable, but I was being vulnerable in kind of going along with that, allowing that person's experience to change me. So I'm being empathetic and I'm sharing her reality.
Can I ask, what about when it's your behavior that's causing the emotional problem for the other person? Like you're involved in maybe an addiction or something that's really mm-hmm. putting them through the ringer emotionally. And how do you bridge that gap? Because usually you want to be defensive as the person who's struggling with the addiction and saying things like, well, you shouldn't feel that way. It's not about you, or some of these kinds of defenses.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about what you're asking, Mark. So which person is it that's struggling
with?
Well,
for instance, a husband who is struggling with an issue, an addiction, perhaps, and his mm-hmm. wife, it just drives her nuts. She's very mm-hmm. upset, very personally threatened by it, fearful by it, how it's not only destroying the person she loves, but it's destroying the marriage
And the husband just won't go there emotionally?
He won't go there emotionally. He says, you shouldn't feel, you know, the real common response is, well, you shouldn't be feeling that way. It has nothing to do with you or something like that.
Okay, so I would say get counseling because the husband obviously has not come to the realization that he has a responsibility here.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, another person's emotions can be over the top.
Yeah.
And this would be typical of a couple that have not learned to share their experience in such a way that the other person can actually process it. And, so a lot of times if they're not used to doing this, if they haven't learned, the person say that's having this struggling might, you know, as I say, be over the top and be almost seem like in an attack mode,
mm-hmm.
and the other person simply can't take it. So it's a matter of them learning how to kind of lay it on layer by layer, or not all at once. And so that takes some coaching. And and so I would say that they do need to get some counseling, and there needs to be a realization and some learning skills. The third one, spiritual, that's kind of can be a difficult area of building intimacy too. And I think of spiritual not so much as in discussions about scripture, because that could be like an intellectual discussion. But I think of it more in terms of, for example, being comfortable praying for one another, mm-hmm. or praying with one another,
sure.
or worshiping together. Because sometimes we don't want to be vulnerable in that way, and we think of my relationship with the Lord as my business, and I don't want advice or anyone stepping into that. And so, but I think that, you know, sometimes couples struggle in praying for one another, and they certainly struggle in praying together, mm-hmm. because that, I would say, and I've said to couples that next to physical sexual intimacy, I think praying together is probably the most vulnerable yes. situation that a couple can be in.
Yeah, I would agree. I've heard a lot of people say, if you want to improve your sex life, start praying together.
Yeah.
So because yeah. it does open up yeah. a real vulnerable aspect. Well, this is a heady subject. Maybe we'll continue this next time. People who are intrigued to your approach to building intimacy in marriage and they want more help in their marriage, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, the phone number, 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. It would be a virtual counseling and website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Also, I have the articles at ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and a lot of times those are great resources for people, whether they can get the counseling or not.
Okay, Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.